Hey everybody, welcome to Movie Crush. Charles W. Chuck Bryant here at the end of a very long day in Los Angeles. I knocked out four of these in a row today, everyone, and quite frankly, I'm tired of hearing my own voice. But I must intro and outro the show because I had Kurt Braunohler and his lovely wife Lauren Cook in, my first couple, which I was really excited. I met Kurt and Lauren on the Max Fun Cruise, which was Jesse Thorne, you know, does his Max Fun Con every year, which I've talked about is the way I've met a lot of these great comics that I know. And he did a cruise one year, only cruise I've ever been on. And he had a great, great roster of talent of comedians on that cruise. And Kurt was one of them. And Lauren, his wife, is an actor who does a great thing called Radio Picture Show here in L.A. And they're just lovely people. And when we hung out on the cruise, I was like, these are my kind of folks. And they're just both very nice. And I called upon them because, well, they're great and they're funny and fun. And I wanted to get a couple. I thought that'd be interesting to get a married couple in here. And they picked the movie. They were kind enough to try and agree on a movie that is probably not either one of their favorites. And they agreed on the movie Broadcast News, the great, great James L. Brooks film with Albert Brooks, Holly Hunter, and William Hurt from 1987. Wonderful movie. I hope you've watched that one before this one. This episode, because it's a really, really great film. And we had a great time talking about that and life and kids. They have a beautiful little baby, and it was fun to kind of swap parenting stories with them as first-time parents. So here we go with Kurt Braunohler and Lauren Cook on Broadcast News. Yeah, there's a lot of words that you shouldn't say that are just sort of like regular words.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
You can't say no?
Like fuck. I'm screaming fuck it all
we
the
were
time.
Just talking about that.
Yeah, we're not very good about watching language.
Yeah, we're pretty bad at it.
And she has not repeated any of it yet. It's weird.
Oh, good.
Oh really?
She repeats stuff all the time.
That, yeah.
That's great.
Where, you know, the other day she said something, that's disgusting. I was like, well, who taught you that? But then I heard it on Peppa Pig.
Oh.
Which
we just downloaded Peppa Pig.
Yeah, get ready.
Yeah.
Something about that little British pig. They just go nuts for it. It's crazy.
Man, we got to do, yeah.
Yeah, that's
we're just
a new
getting
one.
It's going to be. Stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Because she just, we're going to have our first
one.
Flight.
You know, they say no screens until 2, and we were like, fuck that. That's not going to work.
That's
for
a
us.
Tough rule.
Just for the flight.
But for the flight. Yeah. But she does watch Sesame Street, too, occasionally.
Yeah, she does.
Now, Ruby, she started watching stuff here and there a little bit early. And, you know, you just got to let yourself up.
I think so, too.
And give yourself a bit of a break.
Also, I
was
watching
raised
TV.
On Sesame Street.
Yeah. Watch TV all the time.
Yeah, our screens were just shittier.
Yeah, exactly.
I sat around and played the Merlin and the handheld football game, like, for hours.
Constantly.
Yeah. It was just lo-fi and crappy.
Yeah, exactly. It was pointless.
So that's the moral of the story.
I mean, Ruby sat through a movie and she was probably 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, at a movie theater?
No, but we did. Actually, we took her to see Coco. That was the only movie. That's the only movie she's ever been to in the theater. And she, for 90% of that one, because my wife Emily was like, it's too young. She won't sit still. And I went, I bet you she'll just sit there. And for 90% of it, she was like this.
Oh, my God.
And then the other 10%, she wanted to play on the stairs a little and then sat back down.
That's great. And was it like a children's screening or did you just go?
It was an afternoon screening, so it was largely kids.
Yeah.
And so you don't worry about, you know, bothering other people.
Yeah.
But that's my biggest fear is just putting people out.
Yeah.
Right.
I get that.
Yeah, totally.
She's a new thing where she just starts screaming in restaurants.
Yeah.
But out of happiness.
Yeah,
she's
just like,
not sad. She's just excited about the food and she's just very loud. That's what I always want to yell. Like, she's just happy. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Revel in this, everybody.
Isn't she adorable?
So you're going to do your first flight soon?
Sunday. It's not our first flight.
It'll be our first flight since our worst flight.
Yeah.
We had a tough one when she was like six. How old was she? Kurt was in Montreal, so I took her to Montreal.
Must have been 6 months.
To see him. Yeah, I don't even
remember.
It's all a blur.
It was November.
It was a nightmare. She didn't sleep a single moment.
She was 8 months.
Nonstop, loud, crying.
Yeah.
Eating the seatbelt, you know, like mouth on whatever Jeremy thing she could get.
Yeah, Ruby went, well, we adopted her, so she flew at 5 days old.
Yeah.
Which was fine.
That's totally
so small.
Fine. Yeah.
But then we took her, actually about Olive's age, we took her to New Orleans And she was great on the way there, perfect flight. And we were like, this is great. And for about 90% of it on the way back, she was great. But the last 15 minutes of that flight was just, we were that that family.
Yeah.
And I usually am like, get really embarrassed. I'm like, we got to get out of here. But there was something about me and being on the flight, just being like, fuck all you guys. I don't care.
That's me. That's me in this scenario. He's the first.
I wish I could have some more of that because I'm usually embarrassed and I don't want to be causing the disruption.
Yeah, I don't want to be causing the disruption. But I'm always probably just like, will get over that.
Headphones were made for a reason. Everyone put on your headphones.
Yeah. You really discover she's about humanity, though. Like, the people that are and then the people are like, I'm so sorry I've been there.
Yeah, totally.
It's just whether or not they're parents or not.
Pretty much. Oh, if you're a parent and you look scornfully, then there's a special place in hell.
Yeah, I agree.
So we always like to talk a little bit, meaning me, about like the growing up movie years. And I knew you grew up in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Because I lived in New Jersey for a while.
Okay, where at?
I lived in Bernardsville.
Bernardsville?
Do you know it?
Nope.
Where is it?
Basking Ridge near Morristown.
Okay. Uh-huh. I know.
Morristown's the town I always throw out. Yeah. But you were more beachy, right?
Yeah, Neptune and Asbury Park.
Yeah, which is a totally, there are many different New Jerseys as
That is such a small shore. State. Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
And where did you grow up?
I started in Boston, outside Boston.
Uh-huh. And then I started my life.
I never know how to answer this question. People always accuse me of lying because I can say I'm from three different places, honestly. I just moved, and then my mom moved, whole thing. But Boston, a suburb of Boston, a tiny little suburb called Natick, and then Ellicott City, Maryland, which just recently flooded.
A second time.
Yeah, that made
news. Where were the formative years movie going wise? Like, where was 9 to 13?
Maryland.
Okay.
Yep.
And you were Jersey throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What were some of the movies for you guys early, or was it even a thing that you cared about?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Definitely.
The Explorers?
Beaches.
This is great. I've never had a couple in here. This is exciting. I think Camille and Emily are coming on soon.
We are super different.
Yeah.
All right. So Explorers,
space movie?
Yeah. Little Ethan Hawke, right?
Yeah. And they make a spaceship out of a tilt-a-whirl container seat.
Sure.
Yeah.
Really?
And then they meet. Yeah. And then they meet aliens and the aliens have been listening to.
No. It sounds like Return of the Navigator, which I did
Flight
really like.
Navigator. Flight of the Navigator. Love that.
Return of the Navigator was
my
the sequel.
My favorite movie.
Was that your favorite movie?
No, I did love Flight of the Navigator, though. I did.
It's a great movie.
It is a great movie. And that's nobody talks about it. It doesn't get any love these days.
Yeah, that. And there was a bunch of kids flying stuff movies around that time. Like Daryl was another one.
Mm-hmm.
Flight of the Navigator. The
Daryl stood for something, too. Wasn't that an acronym?
Yeah, I think data analyzing. Robotic something. Yeah.
You think you're just
Daryl. No, young, but it was like young. Why was young?
Right.
Young life form, I think. Data land, whatever.
I think that's right, probably.
Young life form, I don't know.
Right.
But it's data analyzing and young life form. And then
righteous
two R's.
Robotic. Righteous robotic.
Yeah, there we go.
So beaches you threw out. That clearly, I knew some young ladies back when I was, and I guess that was high school. I'm older than you guys, but. Beaches was a very big deal.
Oh God!
For a lot of young women.
Yeah, I just remember I was little. First time I saw it, like maybe six, and I cried so hard that my mom was worried about me. She felt as if she'd done something really wrong showing it to me, and then I went to bed like still crying. And
I feel like you're about to cry right now.
No, I could. Okay. I can cry really easily.
She can.
It's just how I express a lot of emotions.
Sure.
But I the next morning when she woke up really. Really early, I would usually sleep in on the weekends. I was up watching it again, still crying.
Wow.
That was like me and E.T.
Yeah. Mm. Love Kurt's E.T. story.
My I saw it like four or five times in the theater.
Yeah.
And so I knew the movie frontwards and back. And we went, my mom and I and my uncle, who my uncles were always of the opinion that because my mom raised me that I was going to be too soft. They're always forcing me to play sports and stuff.
Yeah.
And I hated it. And we were watching it and it's packed. packed. So the place is sold out, and the only place we can sit, we're all sitting in different places from each other in the theater. And because I know what's coming, I start like scream crying before anything sad happens.
And everyone's like, no, you're giving it away.
And then like my uncle physically removes me from the theater because he's ashamed.
Oh,
and my mom has to have like a screaming fight with him in the theater. Like, he's just sensitive.
He's emotional. You had a similar moment with Tinkerbell watching Peter Pan, right?
I was just yelling back at it. That was during a performance with, I think,
you yelled out
Olivia Newton-John, I think, Tinkerbell, or I might be wrong about that. But yeah, no, I screamed out like when Tinkerbell died. I was like, no. I was so upset.
Oh, so you were being taken to Broadway shows and stuff as a kid?
Yeah, we were like 45 minutes away. Yeah, we had I had my mom's cousin live there, so we would go and visit her and see a show. But I honestly, when I was a kid, I think I saw just that Peter Pan, and that was it.
Gotcha.
It wasn't like
after
a
you
thing
scream,
we
they were like, maybe let's take a break. Not. Yeah, let's
we'll just do movies.
We'll hold off.
You're like, I've never seen a Broadway show since. So, do you guys have siblings?
I don't.
Mm-hmm. I have 7.
Oh, jeez.
But they're all half from many different women.
Okay.
My dad loves to get it on, hates condoms. So I have 1 brother and 6 sisters. Yes.
But were they like in your formative years? Was there culture being exchanged from older siblings and stuff like that?
Not really from older siblings, but my brother and I. So my younger brother and I were probably closest.
Uh-huh.
And then now I'm close with a few of my sisters as well.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. Because I have an older brother and that's just a common way to pick up.
What's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Or even maybe it's not cool. You don't even know at the time, but
it's just older.
Whatever they're watching.
Yeah.
90210.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that specifically because my friend's older sister loved it. Uh-huh. Like, this is the coolest show.
I watched that in college, believe it or not. Like, there was a period where my roommates and I thought, I don't think we were being ironic or anything. I think we were just like, yeah, we're like the 4 guys that watch 90210. And like maybe we thought it was a good way to get girls over or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was a good show.
But we had a Brenda poster up in our apartment at one point.
Just
so dumb
like
now.
And it wasn't ironic. It wasn't for sure. That sounds like a good place to hang out.
Yeah. That and Melrose.
Yeah.
I remember those days. So at home, obviously, you're watching movies on VHS.
Yeah.
Like any normal American kid, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The local video store, the local Blockbuster or whatever.
Easy Video and Neptune.
Video Paradise. And I used to say...
That's a great name.
My mom told me that when I was little, I was like just starting to talk. And I would say, and next on to Paradise.
Is that the commercial?
No, it should have been, right?
Oh.
I just made that up.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah. I was a nerdy kid. Yeah, very precocious.
I think I've seen pictures of you on Facebook from your youth.
Mm-hmm.
And nerdy seems to be a pretty good description.
Yeah, very nerdy. Such a mess. But those stores were the best. Just like roaming the aisles for hours.
The mom and pop stores.
That, and then you're right. And then Blockbuster, of course. But like we would spend a long time in there. And we would go day after day, so nothing had changed.
Right.
But you would still just check every inch to make sure there wasn't a new
release. That was where you learned about them, you know, there was no media, so you read boxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember there's so many movies to this day, the only experience I have with it is reading and looking at the box and never renting it.
Yeah.
A lot of times they'd be out, too. You know, they'd have like 7 of them and they were all out there because there was no video behind it.
That was always devastating when you're going in there for the specific movie and it was out.
Yeah.
And I've also talked to other people in here about... the Blockbuster thing where you could go check the cart of had just come in before they were back on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Like that was always where we stopped first. Because you're like, oh, it's got to be in here. It's on the cart.
Right.
But you were shit out of luck, you know? If it wasn't there, it wasn't there.
Yeah.
But I think that made you kind of explore other things.
Sure.
You know? I think I saw a lot of movies that way because the thing I wanted to watch was out.
Right.
You were going to get a movie no matter what.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Very rarely. I think, I don't even know if you ever left a video store empty handed.
No, you'd
That's
get something.
That's a sad night.
Yeah.
I remember it was, we would always rent this same movie, which was called North Shore, mm-hmm. which was like a surfing movie.
Because you're a surfer, right?
Yeah. It was a surfing movie of the 80s and in Jersey at the time. It was just like the thing to do. And it was often out, and we would rent it so often that we would just start like going into like the backlog of other movies that were made after it that were kind of like it.
Right.
And some of them I can't even remember the name of. Under the Boardwalk, that's one of them. That's a pretty bad one, but that's about California.
I guess like, Endless Summer was before that, though, right?
Endless Summer, yeah. And Endless Summer was like a documentary, quote unquote.
Right.
Whereas North Shore is just narrative. Yeah. And then Under the Boardwalk is like the SoCal version of North Shore.
So North Shore was set in Jersey?
No, North Shore was in Hawaii.
Oh.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
I was thinking Down the Shore. Yeah, surf movies. I mean, that's a surf
it's
guys.
It's such a weird. I don't get
it's
it.
It's such a very specific.
I don't get it. It feels like a very stoner thing. Like you'd only appreciate it if you were very high.
Oh wow! No, I just love them.
Yeah,
right. Well,
it's the majority
a child,
of the Instagram
right?
accounts or a child.
Stoner or a child? As a child, that makes sense. But
still, now.
Well, like, I saw Endless Summer, for sure.
Yeah,
I don't think I saw North Shore.
Yeah, Endless Summer is kind of I don't know. It's fine.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that he made it. Bruce Campbell, I think is his name. And I might be wrong about that. He recently died.
Uh-huh.
But it's not great. It's not like it doesn't, you know, it's just like, oh, it's kind of goofy and, you know. But North Shore is great.
Clearly, you're in that camp.
It's so good.
Where does Point Break figure into all
this?
Oh,
man, I love Point Break.
It's fine. You know, but it's not really a surf movie.
No, of course not. It's a heist movie.
But
it's
it does have some surfing. And and it's a good movie in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For its time.
For its time. Exactly.
I feel like there was one other surf movie I watched. And I know it's not the...
Blue Crush.
Well, Blue Crush wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
Blue Crush is not good.
Well, I mean, as a surf movie or period, it's not even a good surf movie.
I don't think it's a good surf movie. And I think I was only judging it on that.
The photography was great.
Yeah, okay. I don't remember
the surfing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's about all you're going to give it, huh?
I mean, from my perspective, it just made me want to move to Hawaii and like hang out with those girls. They were pretty.
Yeah, my wife likes that movie and she cares nothing about surfing.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think she sort of dug that thing.
Yeah.
And what's his face is in it? The hunky guy. Josh.
Chunky God. Monkey?
I don't even know.
Chunky Monkey. That hunk. Josh Duhamel. How do you pronounce it? Dumel?
I don't know. I just remember all the hot girls. I didn't know there was a hot dude.
I don't even remember. I don't remember any hot dudes.
That's
I don't remember anything really about the movie other than I saw it in the theater in New York City and left disappointed. But that's all I remember.
Because you had like street cred to maintain being the one surfer in New York City.
No, this was so dorky. A surfing website went as a group. And so we went as a group on opening night to Blue Crush.
That's...
And you walked out? It's did everyone walk out or just you?
Oh, no. I wouldn't have walked out. Yeah, we surfed out. No, I didn't walk out of the movie. I've never walked out of a movie.
Really?
Has anybody walked out of a movie?
Yes.
Well, that is one of the last five questions. But I'm glad to know the answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people won't. I had Gorley in here earlier. You guys know Matt Gorley?
Yeah.
And he will not walk out of the movie.
I will not.
Yeah.
I have several times.
Yeah, I think it's sort of a thing from what I've so far. The guests, like, it's either something you will definitely do or not. Not like, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
You're either a movie walker or you're not.
Right.
I found that as I'm older now, like I don't take a risk on a movie.
Uh-huh.
So there's no chance of me walking into a piece of shit.
Right.
Especially
almost
with a kid.
No chance.
You're just like, you choose it.
Yeah.
We
have a
sitter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the last... the last few years, it's like four or five movies a year, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, almost none, because I get to steal away at the matinees every now and then.
Yeah.
Because of a loose work schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is good. Did you have an early movie date that was significant?
Sixth grade. It was the first boob.
First boob that you saw on screen?
No, first boob touched. Yeah. It was during Dirty Dancing. A second time I saw
during the movie.
During the movie.
You got a boob touch.
But it was a very uncomfortable and awkward way to do it. We were We were just sitting next to each other. And I like just touched her boob and then just held it there while we watched the movie. It was awful. It was very awkward.
Yeah, no, I remember when you would talk about like what base you'd been to. There was like over the shirt and under the shirt.
Yeah.
Those are two different bases.
Yeah, all the bases were very, I remember hearing about some people's bases and I was like, oh my God, that's a base?
Well, wait, let's do the base. So it's like first base is hand holding. Second base is
first base is kissing,
hugging.
Right?
Third base is cheek smooches, and then a home run is telling them you love them.
Yeah, sounds good.
I know what the bases are.
Home run.
Sweet. Well, I grew up a little church kid, so my bases were a little more along those lines.
Yeah, holding hands
for sure.
Yeah.
But what I meant by that question, even though I loved hearing your boob story, was with you guys, was there a...
Oh, that we went to.
Yeah, was there an early formative movie date for y'all together?
Oh, that we went to.
And you're like, yes, and I grabbed her boob.
That's so funny.
And we got married.
Yeah,
he
we just
held
watched.
It there
I just
the
held
whole
her
movie.
Boob. It's kind of my move.
That's what I do.
Can you think of an early date movie? I don't think we... What?
Midnight. It was a Woody Allen movie.
Midnight in Paris.
Yeah, good movie.
Oh yeah, it is a good movie.
That
I
was very
that movie.
Early on in our dating.
Where did we see it? I have a terrible memory.
Downtown, like the Sunset or
okay.
Yeah.
Landmark Sunset.
Sunset 5.
Recently,
is it not the Lamley anymore?
Landmark Sunset.
Landmark Sunset on Houston. It's now closed.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're all
close. Oh,
wait.
You're talking about New York?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Lamley 5 on Sunset.
Oh, no. We were in
New
York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That clears it up.
Yeah. And the Angelica was the other one. Those were the two really good ones.
The Angelica was always nice because the screen was the size of a television set and you could hear the subway.
Yeah.
Constantly.
I think I saw Welcome to the Dollhouse in the smallest theater at the Angelica.
I think I saw Welcome to the Dollhouse there as well.
Was there a guy, remember the scene where I guess it was the rapey part where the guy was like, I'm going to rape you now.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't even know what that means.
Yeah.
And it was funny. It was played for laughs because he was just a kid. He didn't even know what that word means. And in our screening, a guy got up and stormed out and yelled at everybody, like, you're all awful people. You're bad for watching than laughing. And
whoa.
Yeah.
He snapped.
You weren't in that one.
No.
He snapped. He lost it.
That would have been great.
That would have been amazing
if that was you.
The same screen. It was me. This is disgusting. You're all burning in hell.
He removed his hand from my boob to stand up to say that.
Oh, man. So y'all met in New York then, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were you both pursuing acting, I guess, in comedy or not?
Yeah, I mean, Kurt was a stand-up, and I've always been trying to act. But that's not how we met. We met at a concert.
What concert?
Yola Tango.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And actually, there's a whole Twitter thing. Like, I was following him on Twitter.
Uh-huh. I was following you on Twitter as well.
Right. You followed me back after
exactly.
I followed you because I saw him at 51st Jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was funny. And then he followed me back, which not most comedians, that's not something everybody does.
Right.
And so then when we met at the concert, it was like, I know you. So it was sort of like Twitter first and then the concert. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're a modern couple.
A modern couple.
Yeah.
Look at that.
But I didn't see, I saw her from behind and I commented on her stripes. I said, you had nice stripes.
Right. So then I turned around and said, I know you.
What are stripes?
She was wearing a striped shirt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was code for something. She's
nice
got nice stripes.
His long legs or something? I don't know.
I don't know.
And so you started dating in New York,
mm-hmm.
lived there. Did you live together or I don't
want
to get too
personal? For a couple months,
but, uh-huh.
yeah. And then we decided to move to LA together.
Nice.
Like real early in life.
Real early in the relationship even.
Really?
Yeah, like a year and a half in probably.
Maybe less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that kind of proved whether or not we would make it because we were driving together.
Driving cross country?
Yeah. And then being in a new city together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
It was dove right in. Yeah. And then we drove across the country like four more times together.
We've driven many times across country.
I feel like I've kept up with a little bit that on the social medias.
Yeah.
You guys have road tripped a lot. Does someone not fly or is it just...
That's a great question. That's a very valid question.
Because I have wondered. I was like, why are they flying?
Why the fuck are they doing this again?
There was a bunch of different reasons. One was we needed to get our dog across country because we were living on the East Coast for a little bit.
And only monsters fly their dogs.
She's too big. She's just too big. I think she would
lose her mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not nice.
That was two trips. And then we drove a butt across the country, a giant like 20-foot by 14-foot butt.
That was the love butt. Uh-huh.
For a great TV show that no one will ever see.
What was that for?
It was for a pilot I made for Comedy Central.
That didn't get
called
picked
Better,
up.
Dumber, Faster.
Okay. I thought it was just a Kurt Brunneler fun bit.
It was. But I mean, it also requires a lot of money to build a butt like that.
Right.
People might not understand just how expensive a butt is.
I know. It was weighed like a ton.
Really?
Yeah.
It was like ready for any weather.
I guess 15 feet tall, 20 feet long, probably 8 feet wide. Yeah, you can go see it.
Yeah, where is it?
It's in
Charlottesville
Virginia.
Art Park. IX Art Park in Charlottesville.
West Virginia?
No, just regular Virginia.
Okay, Charlottesville is in Virginia, right?
Yeah. But it was never made to stay outside, and now it's done like two full winters.
Really?
It's definitely going to be falling apart soon.
Who owns it?
The park.
Oh,
we just donated it.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And they wanted it, huh?
Yeah, because that was one of our stopping places.
No, we donated it. I mean, we just kind of left it there.
We forced it.
They hate it.
That's
the
thing.
They wish it wasn't there.
It's really difficult.
They just don't have the means to move it, so...
I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with it when it really starts decaying and falling apart.
What are they doing with it?
It's just part of dirty photos.
People come by and take dirty photos.
Yeah. It's just part, you know, they have it's a sculpture garden. It's an outdoor sculpture garden. So there's just a big
butt.
It's
really funny.
There.
Yeah. It's very, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Such a fun trip.
Memory lives on.
Right. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah. My wife and I moved from LA back to Atlanta with two dogs and two cats. And it was a tough trip.
Yeah.
Was it just one car with?
No, it was me and the largest truck that they will let a normal drive.
Yeah.
Towing my car.
Wow.
And then her behind us. We rented a minivan and took out the seats to just transport her and the animals.
Oh wow!
Because there's really no good way to do two dogs and two cats.
Yeah.
Like big dogs.
So you had your whole house in the whole apartment.
The whole house.
Yeah.
We had a house in Eagle Rock that we rented.
Oh, wow.
And packed it all up and moved across country over like whatever 3.5 days.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It was tough.
Yeah.
It really
those drives
test your relationship metal.
Mm-hmm.
We fought most of the way in different cars. We were fighting. It was,
you get there and you're like, I don't want to live here with you. I'm going back.
And this is how cutely adorable the time period was. We had cell phones, but it was pre-smartphone. And I think it was like, you know, the Nokia
flip phone.
Yeah. And so they didn't work that great a lot. So we bought little walkie-talkies.
Nice.
And
And it sounds like this is like 40 years ago.
No. Mm-hmm.
But this was just, you know, 2004 or 5.
Yeah.
And that's how we communicated.
We had walkie-talkies when we were doing butt. Yeah.
Doing the butt?
Yeah. Because there was so many of the areas in Utah just have no coverage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we would communicate through the walkies.
Scotty was there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had another vehicle as well.
Yeah. Oh, sure. You got to have a follow vehicle for safety. For the camera car, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was just that there was three of us doing it so we could like switch out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also...
And Scotty like met us. It was a whole... It's just logistics reasons.
Right.
Yeah.
Only two people could fit in the butt. Just want everyone to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should talk also a little bit about the jet ski adventure. Because that's a really kind of fun, cool thing.
Yeah, I jet skied from Chicago to New Orleans in order to raise money to send... We tried to send 500 goats and 1,000 chickens to families in Africa, but we couldn't raise that much money. So I think we only sent 380 and 760.
That's great, though.
That is great.
Yeah, still a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was that? How... I mean, I've ridden jet skis. It gets old after about 45 minutes for me.
Yeah, it was seven days.
This is fun and awesome. And
7 days of 8 hours a day.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Going how fast? About 40?
I could have gone a lot faster, but the camera boat was what slowed us down.
So you had to go what?
I would say 30, 35. Okay. Yeah.
Which feels fast on the water.
It does feel fast on the water. It still is going pretty fast.
But
you're
kind of crawling as far as making time goes.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think with the jet ski that we had, you could go like 50.
Uh-huh.
Which is crazy. And there had to be absolutely no wind for that to happen.
Right.
Yeah. But there was often no wind.
That's crazy.
Yeah. He was in heaven, though.
Really?
Yeah. No, I mean, I remember you calling me and you were like, I think I found what I want to do.
I'm a jet ski guy. And I had like,
they're fun.
I found my thing. And I was like,
they're fun for a bit. For okay. Sure.
I really, to take them to travel somewhere is I think, really cool. Because it's kind of like riding a motorcycle. But at a certain point, I remember this one where when you get past on the Mississippi River, you get past St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And it just becomes very like bucolic down there.
Yeah.
Because up until that, it's very industrial around St. Louis. And it just opens up and there's nothing because there's nobody out on the water other than barges. And if you're in an area where there isn't barges for a second,
yeah,
it's just gorgeous. And it's like a mile wide at that point. And we were just going for hours on end. And you just kind of like enter into like almost like a meditation because it's just like constant wind,
that sound.
Constant same sound, constantly doing the same thing. Yeah. Everything is the same. Yeah. But it's just gorgeous. I was very happy.
Before that, though, the water was like electric, right?
Oh, there was one. We ran out of gas the first day.
Mm-hmm. They literally are electrocuting the water as a means of killing these fish that are like
Asian carp.
What were they doing?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They're trying to keep them from getting
they
into
electrocute
the...
them?
Can you
they, no, they electrify
that?
The water and it bothers the fish, so the fish don't want to swim through it.
Oh, they don't just like throw a toaster?
No, but they do sink like wire in, under the river for a mile.
And is that safe for you?
Electrify
no.
it. I never touched the water. I mean, like we literally ran out of gas above that area.
And it then was put crazy. In further down river.
We actually had to have like a PA go to like a Sears and like buy gas canisters and fill them up with gas and then like run across like a rat infested field and throw canisters of gas down to us like stuck on the river. And this was like an industrial section of the Illinois River that was like it was disgusting.
Right.
That
it was
PA
like
is
so...
no longer in the business.
No. Yeah,
that's her last job
yeah,
in
exactly.
television.
It's probably her first job too.
Yeah.
Man, that is nuts.
Yeah, there was a lot of insane shit. You can look at all that's all called it's called Roustabout. There's like I think seven or episodes of it online.
It's on Comedy Central. You should tell
it's just on YouTube.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, your last Netflix special was so good. Or
thank
Comedy
you.
Central?
Comedy Central, yeah.
It was great.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I think just a real like evolution of your comedy and very
you.
Sweet and personal, and it was great.
Oh, thanks. I just finished
thoroughly enjoyed it.
I just finished my new hour. Look, I'm trying to get
great.
It recorded soon.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Where'd you shoot that?
I haven't shot it yet. I just kind of like finished it like... I finished writing it and I have a tape of it now. And so I'm just like shopping it around.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk broadcast news.
Nice. Yeah.
This is one where, like I said, I haven't had a couple in here yet.
We'll make it work.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure it'll be fine. Yeah. But as far as asking like what a favorite movie is, I imagine you guys probably don't have the same favorite movie. Like what would you each have picked? I'm curious.
Ooh, independently.
As a solo guest.
Oh, man.
I know that's putting you on the spot.
It's so hard to answer that question.
I know.
The thing is, like, I used to always say Annie Hall, which is problematic for a couple reasons now.
Yeah, but it's so great. I know.
It is a good movie.
It's cliche, and now everybody is, I mean, he probably molested his daughter, and he definitely married his other daughter, but goddamn, it's a good movie.
I know. It's very, trust me, I have... a lot of Woody Allen turmoil in my life because he was always one of my favorite filmmakers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's hard to just be like, yeah, man, let's go watch Manhattan. Like,
yeah.
Ooh.
It's very strange.
I know, it's such a bummer.
Especially Manhattan.
Especially because you see all those themes
Yes.
Right there. Yes,
they're
right
there.
You just
put some
right
on top.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But what about, for all that.
Well.
whenever I ask this question, I always just say The Abyss.
Oh.
Because it was my favorite movie, like, for years and years and years. And yeah. Now I have so many, it's so many competing things in my world.
Sure.
That I just go back to The Abyss. I love The Abyss.
The Abyss holds up.
The Abyss holds up.
I've never seen
it. It's all about
it.
Water. I love water. I'm a big water fan. It's great. We should watch it someday.
You haven't seen The Abyss?
I haven't. I don't even know what it's about.
It's about an underwater oil drilling platform that contacts aliens.
Okay.
But good, really, like a really good, solid emotional core of that movie.
Elizabeth Mastrantonio, right?
And Ed Harris.
And Ed Harris. Mm.
As a former married couple. And,
yeah,
it's good. It's got
pretty great.
There's more to it than...
Then they've got that one character has a rat as a pet who sits on his shoulder, and he puts him in a little plastic bag when the place floods.
And he learns
floods.
How to breathe water.
That's right.
Remember that?
Yep. Oh, I thought about that all the time. I was obsessed with Jacques Cousteau as a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I remember reading books where they said that, you know, that tech is from like the 80s or something, that water with so hyper-oxygenated water that your lungs can breathe. And I think they actually can do that.
Really?
I'm not sure, but they definitely have. There was a photograph of it in the book of a mouse breathing that stuff.
Sometimes Kurt just makes shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is true. I swear to God.
It's tough for a podcast because he knows that like it's very checkable, but if we were not recording things, he'd be like, oh no, you definitely can. You can. Yeah, you can breathe underwater.
I'm glad you said that because at first Lauren was just kind of laughing and nodding. Just sort of that I know you That's so well married couple thing where I was like, oh, okay, this is a thing. But when you agreed to agree on the same movie, you came back with Broadcast News.
Yep.
Which, from 1987, written, produced, directed by the great James L. Brooks.
So good.
It is a great, great movie. And I watched it with Emily the other night. Again, I hadn't seen it in a long time, though.
Yeah,
we just watched it. Yeah, we just watched it last week.
Yeah.
When we had to pick one, we sat down and watched it again. And there were parts of it I had never seen.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's one of those movies that used to be on like Sunday afternoon or whatever.
Right.
So I'd seen parts of it many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was great to watch it all the way from beginning to end. It's so well directed. Mm-hmm. It's so funny.
It is so funny.
The jokes are so specific and unlike any other movie jokes. Like that you just don't see jokes like that, really.
Yeah, they're very character based. You know, like the characters are all such three-dimensional weirdos that you feel like exist in the world. They're not these tropes. They're just like very specific people. And so then when they say stuff, you believe it in this way that it doesn't even feel like it. They're delivering a joke.
Yeah.
Well, it was a movie that it doesn't feel like they make a lot of these movies anymore. And I call them adult films, which is kind of funny sounding. But like, you know, movies in the 80s, they made these movies that were made by adults about adults and for adults. That were just, they weren't dumbed down. They weren't, I mean, there was a little bit of silliness in here that worked.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, these like kind of mature-ish movies, even comedies. And you just don't see that a lot anymore.
You really don't. You definitely don't see a comedy, too, that has so many dramatic moments.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's hard to even call it a full comedy.
Yeah.
And that type of genre bending is really hard to find, I think, now.
Mm-hmm.
And also that ending is straight up sad.
Oh, yeah. The ending is
a sad ending.
We talked about the ending a little bit. And our buddy told us that they actually filmed that ending several times. And it really sort of falls off. Like when you think about it, knowing that, like, oh, I don't know they picked the right one. It just feels like an afterthought or something. Like, it feels like it wasn't fully executed and it could have
been. I kind of agree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird that, like, because it's that gazebo scene, right?
They
need to get them to the same place. But they all go to this gazebo in the rain. And then William Hurt is there for, like, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Albert Brooks just insults him a few times.
It's the shortest reunion of all time.
I know. And then he's like, all right, I'm leaving. But then it does have that good joke where Albert Brooks' son wants to leave with him.
I know. That was adorable. It was so cute.
Oh, so funny.
funny.
That was good. That was good.
That may have been Albert Brooks's kid, too.
It looked so much like
him. Yeah.
Well, or no, it looked like the other Brooks.
Which Brooks?
Well, so the actor is one Brooks.
Albert Brooks.
James Brooks
made the movie.
And then the director.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Well, I thought you were saying the director's got it.
Well, James Brooks is, I think I did get confused, because his daughter is in the movie.
Oh.
In that very funny scene where...
The rafting scene?
The rafting scene?
Yeah.
Yes!
It's such a great joke.
We laughed about that joke for like 2 days. We'd be like... And then there was also the 14-day rafting trip.
I wore a bright yellow raincoat the whole time.
And that's what triggers it, right? She's like, yeah. It's such a funny joke because I think it's like... Because I write stuff too, and I think as a writer, like, to put... The thing that takes it to the next level is the raft. You're on the most confined, small thing.
Days.
He might as well have literally said, I was trapped in a box with you for 2 weeks, remember?
But again, the way he delivers it, though, it doesn't even sound like a joke. Like,
no.
You laugh so hard because it's like not...
It's so straight.
They don't hit it at all. It's so subtle. It's so funny.
Because on the page, that...
It would be too much on the page.
It would be too much, I
agree.
Think.
Yes. But
that
Albert Brooks
like
plays it so straight.
Joke on the page, and it's so funny.
I died at that because I don't know. Maybe I hadn't seen the movie in a long time, but I didn't remember that joke. And
we,
it just fucking killed me.
We're the same exact way.
But that's James L. Brooks' real daughter. And I saw her, I was like, I said, that's got to be. She looks just like him.
Okay.
She
and
did a great job.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah.
So jumping back to the beginning of the movie, it starts out with those great.
Yes.
Little
flashback
scenes of setting up those three characters when they're young.
Yeah.
And the little Holly Hunter is just like one of the cutest little scenes ever.
Yeah.
As the precocious young girl with the big vocabulary.
Yeah.
It was just great.
Yeah.
She's great. And the first one's really funny too.
With William Hurt and the
and it's like
the postal delivery like truck or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember it exactly, but I just remember the punchline that it's like, I think I discovered what I can or something like I don't have to try hard, and I just get to look good. And then the title comes up, and it's like, Future?
Yeah. Network anchor. It's like, I don't even know what these ladies mean. Fighting a mom with a stick? I don't even know what that means. And then Albert Brooks is great with the great line, you're never going to make more than $19,000 a
year.
Yeah. It's so good. It's such a great way to establish those characters.
It's so well written.
The tape scene in the mm-hmm. newsroom.
Right.
With Joan Cusack, the great Joan Cusack,
mm-hmm. Classic.
Is one of the funniest scenes in movie history, I think.
Yeah.
And watching it again the other day, I was just dying.
Yeah.
Just the frenetic pace and trying to get, and anyone who's ever, I don't know if you guys have ever worked in like journalism like that, but apparently it's just, Roger Ebert said, like, that is what a newsroom is like.
Oh, that's really?
Crazy.
Yeah, he's like, it's just nuts, like down to the second.
We kept so commenting on it, like how much news has changed too.
Oh, yeah.
And just like. Like, I think at one point she goes to get the newspapers in the morning, and we commented on that. Like, that used to be how people mm-hmm. got the news.
She bought like five newspapers.
She got five newspapers. She had to leave her house, mm-hmm. go to these little boxes, pay money, bring all this paper back.
Yeah.
But also that TV would cover what the newspapers put out.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that was the primary reporting for
right.
a lot of the stuff, which is kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the evening news anchor, it was such a thing. Like, there were three men
yes.
who, like, America trusted
yes.
with everything.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
No.
It's so sad how far we've come.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Especially right now. It's a weird time for news.
It's such a weird time.
And also, it is interesting, too, to watch it now where the big, you know, I don't know if I'm jumping to the end here, but, like, the big reason that Holly leaves...
Yeah,
William
actually,
Hurt
it's
is
really...
because of the fact that he turned the camera around and cried on camera.
Yeah.
Which now doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
Right.
Oh, no. Now people are encouraged to
yeah,
do
like,
that, I
don't
think.
Manipulate the audience.
Yeah, exactly.
That's... And also it's like, well, it's for a good reason.
Yeah.
It's about date rape, you know?
Right, I know.
And it doesn't matter to her. You know, like that is fascinating that we have come so far that to me it wasn't... I almost didn't think it was a big deal, but also
no, I'm with you.
Yeah,
but it and I think in the context of the film too, it broke such a trust.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I think because it was journalistically unsound, and then just between them, that was clearly like a breach of trust that he didn't go to her and say, "By the way, like, I did this thing. It's probably not right.
So then here's a question.
Okay.
Is Albert Brooks' character a good guy in that movie? Because I think the argument is that he's not. And it's because he tells her right at the end, you know, there was only one camera at that shoot. I'll just leave you with that. You know, like, he just doesn't let her be happy. Like, he already knows he's not getting her.
Yeah.
And he still does that to, like, destroy that relationship.
Yeah, but okay, that was a selfish thing to do. Maybe. But the point is, he knows her. Uh-huh. And he knows she's going to find out eventually.
True.
Mm-hmm. And so he's trying to save her time. Like, this is not the guy for you. He's going to disappoint you. Yeah. He's definitely going to disappoint you. I wish it ended that she ended up with him.
With Albert Brooks?
Yeah, I just love them together.
I know. So... But, like, I'm glad you asked that because he's... And that's the great thing about this movie is there's so much complexity of character.
Yeah, nobody's all good or all
bad. It's not black and white. And Albert Brooks, like, he's very lovable in some scenes. And in some, I'm like, man, he's so manipulative. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's so jealous and he's so whiny and he's petty so pissed and so whiny. that he can't get what he deserves. Blah. Yeah, but that's great, though. I love that they're all flawed. And I think he knows that he did the wrong thing, too. Yeah. I think he probably felt bad about it later. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm on his side just because he's a sweater. You know?
That scene. I'm a bad sweater.
I'm a bad sweater.
And it's caused a lot of anxiety in my life.
Oh, yeah. It's ruined so many things for
you and me, brother.
Yeah.
And then you start thinking about it and it gets worse, that whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's the worst. Yeah. I mean, like, the thing is, I do... Like, pitch meetings, I'm, like, doing them constantly right now.
No, but you've also...
And I just start sweating during, like, a conversation like this.
Yeah, me too.
And there's no way to hide it.
It's the worst.
I'm just like, it's not that I'm, like, hyper nervous. It's just like, this is how my body kind of, like, responds to slight uncomfortability.
Same here, man.
Yeah.
I've seen him tape TV shows that he's hosting, and the temperature of the room is like 50 degrees. And also he just made it a creative choice to not wear shoes.
Yeah.
Because you were hoping that would help.
Yeah.
And you still sweat.
Yep.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I've always said, like, it can be 35 degrees outside and I'll sweat if it's whatever conditions are right.
Yeah.
Humidity. I mean, there's actual weather that comes into play for me. That's why I love LA so much.
It's
like
so
this
dry.
Light humidity. Yeah, it was so great for
me.
You guys are detoxing really well, though.
I gotta tell you.
Not true.
But that scene in the movie is so
funny. Oh my God.
Pouring it's... off of his body.
They again, must have, like, put... again, on the page, you would read that and be like, that's hack. That's not.
Yeah,
I don't get how that would be funny. Yeah. It's just too much. It's like a SNL sketch.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then you watch it and you're like, you're doubled over. It's just so good.
Because it's so extreme in the movie.
And I've been there. I've totally been there.
Uh-huh.
Like, shooting. I think the first time I shot, like, this, the first pilot I shot for Comedy Central, the first show, the audience was just not on board. And I was just pouring sweat like that to the point where I had to change my shirt, and then we did it again, and it was great.
Yeah.
But that first, it was real tough.
Yeah. And then the, with hair and makeup, like, there is no... powder that can fix what happens to me.
No, not
it just makes it worse.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's the worst.
Yeah. It just continually gets caked up and running.
Oh man. I
it's so good.
I'm glad to know we share this.
Yeah.
People understand it's terrible.
Yeah.
I know that, like, sweaty palms for some people, like, you can actually have surgeries.
People get Botox.
Some people
too.
Have, like, super sweaty palms.
Yeah.
Which I don't have. It just all comes out from, like, between my neck and the top of my head.
Me as well. And also, like, weirdly, like, the middle in between my boobs.
Yeah, sure. I'll get it occasional.
Yeah. That's that little wet valley.
That was such a great sequence in the movie, though, because he has this big night, sort of auditioning for for an anchor position. And it could not have gone any worse. And because he's so complex of character, like, I didn't know whether to root for him to get that job.
Yes. Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because he sort of has belittled that job. But he wanted it.
But then he wanted it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was the reporter with integrity. And he and William Hurt have so many interesting exchanges to where you're like, are they about to punch each other or hug each other?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I always rooted for him. It's interesting. Yeah. I don't know what it is about why I liked him so much, but I was always firmly in his camp. But then William Hurt helps him out.
Yeah.
They have that whole kind of coaching session.
Yeah, he totally does.
Yeah.
And he takes his advice.
I guess I just love
an
underdog.
No, I do too, for sure.
But it's nice that it's not just a very clear-cut. And then that's, I think, the complicated thing about writing that movie. And that's why I had to give it up for James L. Brooks, is that it's such a delicate balance to
really
not
is.
Have you just be like, she should definitely be with Albert Brooks's character and not with this guy.
Yeah. He keeps like changing the dial.
He keeps changing
so that,
it up.
Yeah. And you do know they'd have a great time on that island. She should have just gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you also sort of know, I think, that she and Albert Brooks can't be together.
Right.
Like as soon as, and I've had friends like that where you think like, oh goodness, is this like, should we be dating?
Yeah.
And the answer is usually like, no. don't ruin that great friendship because they were such good friends in this movie and colleagues who supported one another through thick and thin. I don't see a good end if they end up with one another.
Yeah it's true. It would have happened long ago if it was gonna happen.
Exactly.
Yeah, there was clearly no chemistry. Mm-hmm. But I still wanted there to be.
I see. I noted in the sweating scene, I should mention when the when the world map is swinging
that's the best
in the
part.
Background.
Yeah.
When they come back. It's so funny. Just what a train wreck. I love a good train wreck scene in a movie that. It's great. So the movie kind of finishes up, like you said, with William Hurt getting outed as a bit of a phony for the fake crying.
Mm-hmm.
And then it awkwardly just sort of has that 7-year jump.
Mm. It's a weird ending.
It is weird. And for a movie that was so kind of perfectly constructed, it makes me wonder if there were different endings.
Yeah, it was definitely a reshoot because it feels that
you
way.
Think?
Yeah, no, that's what a director friend of ours was like.
Oh.
They shot a bunch of different endings.
Gotcha. So that's fact, or is that Kurt making something up again?
No,
well, this is according to our
buddy. Our buddy may have made it up. I don't think he made up. I think
he went to like school
this.
For directing. He's a big time director. I think he's like.
I think
he would know.
It's a tough movie to end, though.
I would love to know the backstory.
Yes.
Like, what were the other options?
Yeah,
why
I would
were
love
they
to
turned
know.
Down?
Yeah.
Is there like a DVD we could buy with the other endings?
How would you end it?
Ooh,
that's a hard question.
Well, they all, here's how I would end. They all move in together and start a three-way, like that movie Three-Way. Do you remember that movie Three-Way?
Yeah,
I think it was called Three-Way, right?
Josh Charles?
I think so, yeah.
Am I thinking of the same movie?
I don't know. It was about like three people like trying to, it was like an art house film in maybe the 99 or early. Yeah.
I remember that movie. Was it called Three-Way? It was called something like
maybe
that.
Maybe it was called, maybe it was called Threesome.
Threesome, I think.
Threesome? Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it just becomes the movie Threesome.
It was called Threesome. Yeah. Now I remember. I feel like I wouldn't jump to the future. I liked when he sort of said what was going to happen, Albert Brooks's character. I don't think we need to see that he's right. And that's ultimately what they're showing us, is that he sort of described what the future would be like, and that's what you see.
Right.
And it's just like anticlimactic and kind of a bummer. And I mean, I guess that ultimately they're going to work together again. Mm-hmm. That seems to be on the table, but... Yeah, it just wasn't satisfying.
It really wasn't, which was a bit of a letdown because it was...
So good.
Yeah, it was so good up until that point.
In some ways, though, what I do like about it, and this is not something you would say about a movie, I don't think, is or you should say, is that it felt very much like what actually might happen in real life.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
But
yeah,
not the
true.
Gazebo scene. The gazebo scene is just ridiculous. Nobody just meets at a gazebo in the rain and for 5 seconds and then leaves.
Yeah, and sometimes life is that. You see each other 7 years later and you're like, well, I'm Holly Hunter now. I have 80s hair and some new rando guy.
Totally. I have
William
a good
Hurt's
new haircut.
Got an 80s hot wife.
Yeah. They should have all just looked at the camera and gone, life is meaningless. And then it should have faded to black.
It's a hard movie to end, though, I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and dig that up. I'll email you guys.
Yeah.
If I can find the original endings.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, please do.
Can we go back just to one scene?
Yes.
With the fight in between Albert Brooks. Motherfuck. Let me start again. The fight. After he fails so miserably, and she comes back and she says, I think I'm in love with him.
Yes.
And he
that whole he's scene like, is get so
out,
great.
Get out, and it's so dramatic.
Yeah.
It's, it has every ounce of drama of like a Meryl Streep scene.
Yeah.
You know, but it's this comedy, and it's this very comedic character doing it too, and then when she's like, "This is important to me,"
yeah,
and she and it's like screaming. That sounds like a ridiculous thing, but you feel it. You feel that they're like,
it was so real.
It's just such a real fight scene. I would argue that it's the best fight scene in any movie I've ever seen.
Yeah,
it's just so good.
It's a great scene because it's long. And just the choreography of it. They're all over the apartment.
Yeah, he has to leave the room. He has to go outside, and then he comes in.
And then she goes, like, around that weird, like, corner, and then comes back in the other door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really... I'm glad you brought that up, because I have it down here to talk about that scene. It was just great. And it has that wonderful line where he says that he thinks he loves her.
Yeah.
And he goes, how do you like that? I buried the lead.
Yeah.
It's just, like, such a great, like, written line.
You just want to cry for him. And but it's... Oh.
And Holly Hunter is just so...
She's so good.
She's one of the most naturalistic, like, you always believe every emotion.
Yep. Exactly.
Every laugh is just... You're like, Holly Hunter's really laughing. She thinks that's funny.
And also, she does, when she does takes, it's always completely different.
Yeah.
It's like, it's fascinating to watch. She does like little weird things constantly.
Because you've acted with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And I was also a on-set writer for The Big Sick. And so I was there a lot when I wasn't on camera. So I was just watching her. And it would be amazing. It was amazing. She would have.
I think the character she plays in Broadcast News is, again, I would put it up with like the top five best female characters too.
Yeah.
Just because she is so complex. The crying every day.
Uh-huh.
It's so brilliant. It's like she just has to fucking have a little meltdown.
It's so smart.
It's so good. She's so damaged, but like so functional, so smart.
Yeah, holding kind of ahead of its time together. For 1987.
Yeah.
To have a female character so well-drawn and complex. And...
Yeah.
Yeah, and they talk a lot about how she's not, like, stereotypically, like you said, she's not the 80s hot chick, but he's this hot 80s dude, and he's so, you know, drawn to her just because of her brain, and he says that. It's just like, oh, everything about it.
Yeah. She's so cute, too. And, you know, that scene after they have the great... when she's in his earpiece, just sort of dictating what he's going to say.
Oh, my God, that scene is
and
so
afterward,
beautiful.
He just is like, you know, it's like great sex.
He wants to fuck her so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great scene. It was like having you inside me or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That scene, God, there's just a million good scenes.
Something hot about that scene, for sure.
So hot.
He's like down on his knees, and she's like at the desk. Yeah.
Yeah. He was really good. William Hurt was really, really good in that part, too.
He was.
Yeah.
Because that's a tough role to take on, is to be... sort of a doofy dolt.
Yeah.
Who's sort of likable, but not especially likable because he doesn't have much of a personality.
Right.
That's like a hard role to play.
That's hard.
But this is why it's such a well-written script, is that you ultimately understand that he's very talented. It's not easy what he does. And they show you that he actually is, you know, one of very few who can do this job.
Yeah. He does have a skill.
He has a skill.
Oh, yeah.
And when she's in his ear like that, too, you realize, like, I could never fucking talk and listen at the same time in that way. And he's sort of, he's, like, making the words his own. And, Oh, man, I love that movie. I'm so glad we watched it.
I know. It was great.
It was a treat to get to watch it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, to prep.
Well, all right. You know, Deborah Winger almost played that role.
Really?
No way.
Oh, see, yeah.
She would have been pregnant, a totally apparently,
different. Oh, my God.
And was in the movie and got pregnant and had to drop out because they had just done Terms of Endearment.
Oh, of course.
Was James L. Brooks' first movie.
Yeah. She was great in that.
Yeah.
But it would have been a different movie.
Oh, it would have been totally. And she would have been great in it. But Holly Hunter is just so lovable.
Yeah.
And
more cerebral, I think.
Yeah.
In more, hate the word quirky, but she is.
Yeah,
she's like a stranger person.
Uh-huh.
There's so many famous roles that were supposed to be someone else.
I know.
And it's just like, it's so crazy. Because as an actor, whenever like you hear like, oh, you're like, you feel like a replacement if you get a role like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, oh, no, you're not. You're not the replacement.
Right.
You know, that's.
It could have never been any other way.
Yeah, exactly. Because now that's the way it is.
Yeah. It's interesting. It is always hard to reframe and think about like Tom Selleck is Indiana Jones. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that stuff happens.
Yeah, all the time.
I watched Terms of Endearment for the first time ever last year on a fucking plane flight.
Oh, God, did you cry so hard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a, and I'm a crier, so I was like just trying to contain myself. And that movie is like a sobber.
Yeah.
And I was at the end sitting like, I might have even been in the middle seat, literally just trying to be like,
what is that? I was like kind of convulsing. Too. Planes make me cry harder.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Planes make me, I'll cry at comedies on planes. I really will. If it's just like slightly, I'm like,
yeah, right. We've had this conversation. Like, they do something to the air is thinner or whatever, and you just, you really want to go for it, but it's very awkward.
I don't, it was a bad choice. I called Emily right after, literally, I got off. And I was like, I just watched Terms of Endearment. She was like, on a plane? She's like, what is wrong with you? Like, I know, I knew it was sad, but it's devastating.
See, that's another one that I have seen parts of it, truly, probably 30 times, but I've never seen it sat down from beginning
you guys
to
watch,
end.
Have you seen it?
I saw it as a kid, and I don't remember it.
You guys watch that soon.
Okay.
It is, and James L. Brooks is like in his 20s when he made this movie.
Oh, my God.
What kind of genius is this guy? Yeah.
I know. And he's only made like six movies
that's
or so.
Yeah, I looked him up. He hasn't done a ton. Yeah.
I thought,
what was his last movie that he made?
I have it right here.
It was Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah. How
it was
do you
a
know?
Shitty movie.
Yeah.
And,
but before
I think,
that, he did Spanglish, which was pretty good.
I love Spanglish.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love Spanglish.
Spanglish.
Oh, Spanglish is really good. Yeah.
But yeah, he's only done, he had Terms of Endearment, Broadcast News, I'll Do Anything, which is this weird Nick Nolte movie that didn't do much. And then As Good as It Gets and Spanglish, which were both pretty great.
Yeah. But, As Good as It Gets was huge.
Yeah.
He does a lot of writing and producing, though.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, for TV?
Yeah, like all the way back to like Mary Tyler Moore show.
Oh,
and stuff
right,
like
okay.
That. And then, of course, The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Is, you know, one of his babies or partially his baby. All right, guys, we finished with two segments. What Ebert said.
This movie is a complete disappointment.
And then five questions.
All right.
Roger Ebert gave this 4 stars out of 4. He said, the tricky thing about Broadcast News, the quality in director James L. Brooks' screenplay that makes it so special, is that all three characters have a tendency to grow emotionally absent-minded when it's a choice between romance and work. Frankly, they'd rather work. After Hunter whispers into Hurt's earpiece to talk him through a crucial live report, he kneels at her feet and says it was like sex, having her voice inside his head. He never gets that excited about sex, and neither does she. And it kind of dawned on me, like, yeah, like, a lot of this movie was about work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And being a newsie.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
And that's also, very, yeah, I would not have thought of that, but that's true. They're all obsessed with
their jobs.
With the work, with the job.
And also, Holly Hunter, at first, too, is just willing to have sex with William Hurt. Mm-hmm. Like on a first date and like get it out of the way and then like get back to the work. But then it doesn't happen. And that's kind of what kicks everything off.
Which is kind of against her character, too.
Yeah.
She's not the lady who jumps into bed with the angry
guy. Right. She's like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it this once.
Right.
And then she's like bummed out that he doesn't want to.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, it is a lot about work. And it's about, and also that, and that is why in like the bad guys close in, quote unquote, like moment of the second act is when everybody gets fired.
It's so powerful when everybody gets fired.
Yeah. And of course, Jack Nicholson, we didn't even talk about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could take $1 million off of your salary and then he just stares at him. That was a bad joke. And I am so sorry I made that joke.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. And Jack just has, of course, the gravitas to come in there for that role.
Yeah.
He just played it so perfectly. A very small role, but had a lot of impact.
He did it wonderfully.
Yeah, yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
He came to be with the troops when they fired everyone.
Yeah.
All right. 5 questions, guys.
Yes.
I'm looking up the answer.
First movie. Oh, you took notes?
Yeah. I just wanted to look up one thing. I'm preparing. Go ahead.
First movie you remember seeing in the theater. And I think you already said, right?
No. My first movie in the theater. Uh-huh. Oh, I remember my first R-rated movie in the theater. I don't remember my first normal movie.
Well, those are the first 2 questions. So.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Yeah.
I don't remember normal.
Little Mermaid.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first
all
movie?
The words.
No.
Okay. First R-rated movie then.
Christine.
Oh.
What is that?
Stephen King. My mom really wanted to go. She loves
slasher
just like
films.
Slasher movies, or slasher books, really.
Interesting.
And she was really into Stephen
TV
King.
TV, too.
Uh-huh. And yeah. So Christine is about a car that murders people
and repairs itself. It's a weird movie. Do you remember your first R-rated movie?
R-rated? No, I mean, I remember my mom, when I was really little, was always watching Twin Peaks, and it scared the living shit out of me. But I don't remember the first R-rated movie. She wasn't really good about sort of monitoring what I saw, so I probably didn't know it was R, but saw a lot. You know,
sometimes
like,
that'll happen. Yeah. If your parents have a tighter grip, then it's usually a bigger deal.
Then you know, But I mean, like, I remember watching Silence of the Lambs really young. Yeah, I watched a lot of upsetting shit.
Yep.
I'm going to talk about that in about 15 minutes. Okay. Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, nice.
That's my last one of the day with Karen and Georgia. You know them, right?
Very cool.
I love them.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We walk out of a bad movie. That's the one that you talked about doing earlier. So you will.
I will not.
Oh, you won't.
But I will not walk out of a movie ever.
You did walk out on one with me, and that's what I'm trying to look up right now.
Well, we walked out of a movie?
We did. It had.
What was it?
Savages. It's called Savages. It was with Blake Lively. It's a horrible, horrible movie. It makes no sense, and it was so bad that we walked out.
Who else is in it? I don't think I know that movie.
Oh, God. It's really bad. It was 2012. Who else is in it? Benicio del Toro, Selma Hayek, Taylor Kitsch.
I've never heard of that movie.
Oh, God. Well, you should watch it. It's an Oliver Stone movie, I think.
Oh, wow.
But it's so
fucking
bad.
Is it a drug movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember, there? It actually
is. I kind of remember.
She's like this amazingly hot girl, and she's sleeping with two men, and they live in this house.
Oh, right. And then they're going to like, it's like marijuana smuggling.
Oh, no. They're making. I have seen that movie.
Really?
They're making.
Comically bad.
I have totally seen that movie.
Like, we should have stuck around just to make fun of it.
That's the thing. I want to stick around. I should have stuck around because maybe it got amazing in the second half.
No, it didn't.
Okay.
No. It's like I think Joe Mandy has like stuff. He used to tell jokes about how bad it was. But yeah, we walked out of that movie.
I can't believe you went and saw that in the theater. Shame on both of you.
Yeah.
The coming attractions were kind of sexy. You know, I think we thought, like, I remember thinking, like, this is going to be a hot movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Blake Lively, I mean, she's fun to look at for a couple hours.
Yeah, of course. And Selma Hayek and Benicio del Toro. It's like, I'm into all those people. And the guy from... Friday Night Lights?
Yeah.
Like, don't get me started.
It's always fascinating when all like interesting good people make a bad
horrible
movie.
Film.
Yeah.
And Oliver Stone is at the helm.
Yeah, we're just
although,
like,
you know what? He's had a lot of flops, hasn't he?
He hasn't been on his game in the
quite
a while.
Some time since JFK.
Probably so. Yeah, I mean, it shows how hard it is to make a good movie sometimes. Yeah.
It's true. And
like,
there's
all
so
the
many,
elements are there.
There's so many like outside of your control.
You oh, just, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number four, I tailor for the guests. Who would pay? Who would play Kurt and Laura in the movie about your love story? Who would play you guys?
We would. we need the money.
If you had to cast someone else.
Yeah. Can we choose for actors from any time period?
Yeah, yes. That's what I was about to say.
For sure. They don't have to align.
So like 90s. Early 90s Eric Stoltz for me.
Oh, nice.
Wait, who's Eric Stoltz again?
Eric Stoltz, he had the red hair. He was in Pulp Fiction. He's the guy who I was showing you pictures of in Pulp Fiction, the heroin dealer in Pulp Fiction. He was also in...
Kind of Wonderful.
Some Kind of Wonderful was his like main first big one.
Mm.
You don't know who Eric Stoltz
no
is?
No idea. Neither of those references are
that's
like
crazy.
Getting me. No idea. I don't know. People used to tell me that I look like a young Annette Bening.
I can see that.
Like a while ago. And I adore her. I think
she's awesome. A young Annette Bening.
She's
and
now
Eric
in
Stoltz.
Her 60s. So
I love it.
That's great.
That's our answer. Final answer.
Just I picture those two standing in front of a giant butt.
It's a really good movie.
And then finally, Movie Going 101. What is y'all's deal at the movie theater? What's your ritual? Where do you sit? What do you get at the snack stand?
Man, so this is making me sad because I used to really have a ritual. Mm-hmm. And it was when we were in New York. I would go to the Sunset Place and get Junior Mints, and they were chilled.
Oh.
And that's clutch.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, like, if you're really going for it, somebody gets
popcorn
and you mix them together. And you have to,
So I would say Mints, go with that. Chilled Junior Mints and popcorn.
Yeah. But now we don't, you know, we don't go anywhere that even offers Junior Mints. And like, now we don't go to the movies, really.
Right.
We sit in front of our television, watch a lot of
movies. Went to one movie.
What
together.
Did we go to? What?
It was at the
premiere of The Big Sick.
Yeah, and I had to leave in the middle to go pump.
Did you really?
I pumped in the middle of it.
Yeah, she pumped in the bathroom at the ArcLight.
Everybody was really weirded out when I got up. Like, you don't get up in the middle of a premiere. And I was like, I...
Especially when your husband's
up
in the movie.
Yeah, it's like,
fuck this, I'm out of here.
This sucks. I love
and,
that.
And where do you sit?
Middle.
What's your preference?
Middle. Pretty normal. Probably like, if there's a walking area and there's a part down front and then a part in the back, maybe second or third row in the middle.
Of the, like the stadium seating part? Yeah.
That's what Kurt would choose. I did the thing where you find like the middle seat.
Right.
And oh, dead middle.
Dead middle. Interesting. Yeah,
you
like
do
that.
A math equation.
I totally do.
And find the dead center.
Lots of times I find myself in a totally empty movie theater too, so you can do that.
That's great.
Yeah. The theater at Glendale is pretty cool though.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know,
I used
the
to go see movies over
like,
there.
In the mall there, the Americana or whatever. You can get like flavored Coke, like peach Coke.
Nice.
I think that's pretty much
that's
everywhere
common
now.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That was cool for me. I thought it was pretty cool.
So a peach Coke.
I was at Fuddruckers yesterday, and they have the same machine.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's an exciting machine.
You went to Fuddruckers yesterday?
I went to Fuddruckers. I buried the lead.
Well, that's a perfect way to end. Good job, guys. Thanks
Thank
for coming
you.
In.
Thank you for having us.
That was
us.
Fun.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that was fun. I think it went pretty well. It was fun having a married couple in here. I'm going to try and do that again in the near future. It was fun listening to them talk about the crazy things that they've done, whether it's jet skiing up the Mississippi River or driving a giant butt across country together. They are game to try anything, it seems like, and a lot of fun. You can follow Kurt at Kurt Braunohler, KurtBraunohler. And, you know, I tried to look up Lauren's Twitter. I don't know if she's on Twitter because there are a lot of Lauren Cooks. So apologies, Lauren, if I am not shouting out your Twitter because I'm not sure which one it is. But knowing Lauren, she's probably not even messing around with that stuff. She's got more important things to do. And it was a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Broadcast News, what a great movie. We really got into that one. And all kind of agreed on the major points, including that kind of strange tacked-on ending, which is, to me, the only flaw in that film. It's a really, really great one otherwise. So I hope you enjoyed it. And until next week, why don't you go get married? Because being married's great. Movie Crush is produced, engineered, edited, and soundtracked by Noel Brown and Ramsey Yunt at HowStuffWorks Studios, Ponce City Market, Atlanta, Georgia.